two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
Look at the size of that boy's head. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpaste.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It's summer now. They told me this would be temporary.
It cannot end soon enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. And guess what, everybody? It's Friday. You did it!
Yeah!
Woo, woo, woo! Well done.
Hey, that's
great.
We're
proud of you.
That is great.
We're pulling for you this weekend. We know you're going to have a great time.
Oh, really?
And we know you're going to wear a mask. Now, Alex, speaking of, Indianapolis, or actually Indiana.
I want to say something before you get into the Indiana thing. BYU Utah's off, bro.
Yeah.
The rivalry game that you and I, this is when you and I hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you and I start going after each other.
When we literally fight each
other. BYU, Utah grad, going at it. One guy knows everything about the game. The other one goes, hey, is the football always been brown?
I'm just really good at holding grudges. Now,
That's a tough deal for our community, buddy.
Yeah,
come on.
I saw this, the Pac-12, of which the University of Utah is a part, they're doing league-only games, which means they're only going to play, all the Pac-12 teams are only going to play other Pac-12 teams.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Which means how many games can you have then?
Well, I think the idea was they're going to stick to a 9-game schedule.
So just kind of play. That's still most of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be missing about 3 games. Yeah. It's a bad deal. So if you're just tuning in, look, that's where it is. That's where we are. BYU, Utah, not going off on September 3rd.
So who's BYU going to play? Because I don't know if anyone's noticed, but
they have 7 games now on their schedule instead of and those games could be going away too. So.
Did BYU forget to sign up for a conference or what? How did this work out?
Yeah, late. No, they were late registrars of the. They're on the wait list. So they'll hopefully get in on one.
It's a good thing that, you know, academics have never been a big deal at BYU.
No, athletics. Academics is important.
Athletics has never been important
at BYU.
Never been.
We've never cared. We just get that degree, man. It's like the Harvard of Utah
Harvard
County,
of
man.
The West. You know, football was fun, but it's never been important. So that's good.
Will you please send your condolence text to me and other BYU fans at 57500 about that game going away September 3rd?
Mm.
Just send them in 57500. Make me feel a little bit better about myself.
Alex, I'm actually sad about it.
I know.
BYU fans are the only ones that need condolences here. This is the biggest game on Utah's schedule too, and Utah fans, they love to say it's not, but it is.
It's a pretty important game. Yes,
it's the most important game. It's the most important game.
I don't think it is, but I do think that it is. Currently, it's not, but it is a big game.
It totally is. I'm telling you, Alex, for Utah fans, losing if they lose to BYU It's hard. They really have to have a good season.
Well, they can't remember the last time that happened anyway, so it's been a good solid.
Guess,
and you know what?
I guess that's true.
Here's what it is, dude. Here's what really stinks about it all. It's what? Another year that BYU can't win, and so Utah's winning streak just gets extended like further. And it's just even though they haven't won another game this year to extend the win streak, they technically haven't lost this year. It's like in soccer when they go, and they have these streaks. It's just like they may have tied 14 games in a row, but it doesn't matter because they haven't lost in any of those 14 games, so it doesn't matter.
Brandon texted in. He said, you know, BYU fans might just say the streak has ended.
That could be, you know what?
You could flip it.
That's my new thing.
The streak is over.
Yeah, the streak, you can't do it. You can't, if you're a BYU fan, you can go with that direction. Just say, hey, you know what? It was cool that you guys your conference bailed you out this year. So, all right. So that's all I wanted to say about that. And
is it all you want?
Well, I have an hour sports show that I'm going to be doing it on and, you know, at 8 o'clock, so then I can get it out then.
Yeah,
too.
You guys will have this is Scott Mitchell's deal because he's part of the Utah broadcast.
Yeah, so he's broadcast. Honestly, he's bummed.
Now, but tell me this though.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds are that they're going to hit the fall and the Pac-12 is just going to say, you know what, we're not doing any games?
It's actually pretty high. I could see I could see them not doing games. Yeah,
you think
I could see
even?
Them pushing it because they left it in the press release they put out or in the statement they made. Mm-hmm. It was 100% like, hey, yeah, we're currently moving to a non-conference model or a conference only, model. And with all options open as to what they're going to be actually doing in the fall. They're just like, look, and I know that they've had discussions about spring, about pushing everything to the spring.
Yeah.
They really have. So I hope it doesn't go that way. But
well, I guess so. Now, you played football.
You played the football. Mm-hmm. Here it is. It already came in. Utah's forfeiting. Losers. Boom. Hey.
Texted that.
There we go. See, now the text is making me feel a little bit better about myself. How could Utah forfeit like this? Bunch of losers.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. I feel better about myself. All right, Ethan, continue with your Indiana news because then it's
So Marion County, Indiana is a mask order. Everyone's got to wear masks at all time, even in bed, on the toilet, everywhere else. I'm assuming.
There's no way they're ever going to say
something. I'm assuming.
Okay.
And what they've done is, though, and here's the thing, though, is that they have, if you see public health order violations, in other words, if you see somebody not wearing the mask,
yeah,
authorities invite you to call their Marion County Public Health Department COVID-19 call center.
More importantly, they have a process. If you want to snitch on somebody, mm-hmm. they have a process. They say, number one, don't call 911. They say that the county there in Indianapolis is found. They said that they received over 80,000 911 calls last month, and the majority of the 911 calls aren't actual emergencies. So you're getting
and
a lot of people
of them
like,
were, hey, this person's not wearing a mask,
right? And so they told people, hey, don't call 911 anymore on people who aren't wearing masks. So that's a good step. And I wanted to say this. I will also add this because they put a phone number on there you could do, but they also give you steps. They say take a picture of the offender, all right, and send it to the health department, to the Indiana Health Department.
But see, in New York City, they tried this.
Why?
And you know what
so
happened?
So dumb.
The
what?
Mayor's office was bombarded with obscene photos and prank calls because you know why? I guess in New York,
because it's
they
hilarious.
Don't snitch. And I kind of feel like so. This is my thought here because we don't have, as far as I know, we don't have anything like this in Salt Lake.
But look, I'm a big mask. And now that the governor's mandated all the people at schools to wear them this year, I'm like, good. This is good. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to take a picture of somebody. I'm not going to call.
I'm not going
to
snitch.
They're
either.
Encouraging. No. They're encouraging the Karens out there to take over the world, and that's not what I want.
I'm not going to snitch. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you how they can do this, and this might work in Indiana. I'm sure it would work here. In fact, it would probably work in most any community. What they don't, you shouldn't encourage people to snitch. What you should do is encourage them to gossip. So instead of saying,
just negative gossip about your neighbors, so that's a good way to do it.
Instead of having this call center where people can snitch, you just roll around the computer like, oh man, can you believe some of these people that aren't wearing masks? Oh my gosh,
I heard Martha won't wear a mask because she says her breath doesn't stink, but I know otherwise. Mm-hmm. She's got halitosis. She doesn't want to smell her own breath in that mask. That's why she doesn't wear it. You know that, right?
You will get all the information you need and a lot of information you didn't need.
You know what?
And that's how we approach this.
That's our new thing. That's our new thing. Yeah. Is don't snitch. Don't tell on people.
Gossip.
You need to gossip about them. If they're not wearing the mask, you need to start gossiping about them because that's how it works in our community the best. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you get all the information you need about who's not compliant.
Okay. If you 57500, are you a person that would call on others not wearing the mask? 57500.
Snitch on yourself. Are you that kind of person?
And we'll send you some photos of people not wearing masks. All right? And then you'll feel better about yourself. You can send them all into the health department. I think it was hilarious that they had a list. They're like, hey, when you see somebody not wearing the mask, here's what you do. Freak out. Number one's freak out. Mm-hmm. Number two is, but don't freak out enough to call 911 because calling 911 is going a step too far because actual emergencies are important.
That's right.
Number three is take a picture of that person, which is already ridiculous. When you are like, oh my gosh, look at this guy, click, it is terrible. Like, it is so ridiculous. And then you send it to the health department. What's the health department going to do? Oh, that's Craig. I know that guy. What are they doing? I know this guy. Oh, he lives four streets down from me. Send him a bill because they said that if you're offending in public, you can get up to $1,000 fine. But they said that the law enforcement will take it on a case by case basis.
Well,
ridiculous. Yeah. Come on.
I kind of feel like if it's an actual rule, at least here in Utah, right? Here in Utah, if it was an actual rule, I think they would get 99% compliance. Because we in Utah, we're a rule following people, but it has to be a specific rule. We don't take good advice. I think that much is clear. But we do follow rules. And so that's what it's got to be. It's got to be a rule. And at that point, we'll comply at a level that if one or two guys are out there being jerks about it, we'll still be fine. You know?
All right.
We'll still be fine.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to talk about on the show. It's a Friday edition of the show. Good vibes only. Utah high schools say that sports are going to be going forward this fall, even though we just got news that other conferences now at the collegiate level, you're not going to see a lot of games played. Some things getting canceled, obviously, and being put on the back burner. But look, high schools around the state are going to try to figure it out. Are you okay with it, with your kids participating at this level? 57500 is a text number. We'll come back. More to go right here. The Nightside Project continues on a Friday.
Nightside.
Nightside.
We're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We got a couple of texts coming in here on Alex's question of whether or not we're right to move forward with high school sports this fall. Someone says yes to sports. These kids need to get back to some normalcy. And so the situation is, if you've just kind of tuned in, if you're just picking up this story, it's actually been around for a couple of days. We're just getting to it because we're lazy. But basically, we canceled sports. We canceled high school athletics in the spring because the schools closed, right? In this fall, the Utah High School Activities Association has decided that they are going to also move forward with prep sports. And in fact, Craig Hammer, who's the executive director, or who is the chairman of the Utah High School Activities Association, he says, quote, "We're just going to have to wade through this, navigate the best we can. However they want us to do it is what we have to do. We don't really have a choice. I don't think any of us feel 100% comfortable, but we're just going to have to wade in and try and navigate it." But apparently high school sports is going to be on.
I want these athletes to be able to have their I want them to be able to have their senior years or their year of football for sure. Absolutely. I can't imagine having my senior year football taken away from me. You know, it was a massive – I loved it. You know, I mean, I loved playing football in high school. I loved you know, I hated wrestling. I mean, but I did track as well, not the running part. I did the field part. And I all those things that I did, I loved doing it because I was pretty good at it. And it was like a thing where I was like, hey, I'm doing these things, and this is what I like to – and this is something that I did my whole life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And imagine a lot of these kids, I mean, this is not like college where they're like, hey, we'll grant you some eligibility. You know, these guys, they're not coming back and playing again. You know, what's interesting is that I got an email, I think there's a soccer tournament that they're trying to get together at the end of July to kind of mimic some state championship, quote unquote, for the state of Utah because they didn't get to have a soccer, a boys soccer, you know, state championship in the state of Utah for high school sports. Right. And I thought, okay, we're trying to do this in July, you know, good for them. But you know, at this point, how many kids have already moved on, are going to college, they already graduated high school, some are already on missions or whatever. I mean, there are so many things where you go, well, what are we trying to do here? Are we trying to force this when we shouldn't be? Or is this something that is absolutely going to, I mean, I don't know. When you see college making this decision, another text came in that said, they got to figure it out here. This is college. The NCAA, they're going to get sued by parents if even one kid goes to the hospital for COVID or stronger, or if somebody dies. Imagine them saying, "Hey, we're going forward with the conference only schedule, for example, right? That the mm-hmm. Pac-12 and the Big Ten are doing, mm-hmm. and I'm sure other big conferences are going to follow suit." And then somebody still gets sick, and then somebody dies. Is college football going to be held? Is the NCAA going to be held responsible for that? Is the school? You're going to have all sorts of problems. And I'm not saying, hey, don't go forward because you could get sued, because we run that risk every year anyway. But I just wonder if we're doing it and just saying, hey, let's do sports. We're going back to school. So if you're going to go back to school, you know, presumably you could just keep the sports season going as well.
Yeah, it's hard to say, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not hard. Is because I'm trying to think of, you know, the different sports, because they're going to have to be. You could treat them differently, right? Because there are some where social distancing is not a thing. Basketball, right? No social distancing in basketball.
Yeah, football, no social distancing.
Football, not quite as bad as basketball. Baseball, you could probably get away with. And it's,
football might be worse just because the
blood.
Well, no. When you're tackling somebody and there's that, like, face-to-face and, like, breath being just, like, knocked out of you or whatever. I mean, it's just it's a weird – it's a weird thing. I mean, it's just
– here are, I think, the places, the stress points in this conversation. Number one is, do you treat all sports the same way, right? Wrestling, okay? There's a sport where, you know, if one kid's got COVID, everyone's got COVID, right, on a wrestling team. But secondarily, you've got the issue of Salt Lake still being at orange. Because there are – let's just talk football. You've got experience with football. Football is my preferred sport right now, so let's just talk football, all right? You've got football teams – at West, East, and Highland, all within Salt Lake City. And in this article that we're reading, in this, I don't know who wrote this Deseret News article, but...
it was Amy Donaldson.
Amy Donaldson. So she interviewed the Highland High School coach, and he said, how do I tell my students that they can't play, but 2.5 miles away at Skyline, they can play.
Right.
And so whatever happens, they've got to get Salt Lake on board. So Salt Lake has got to find a way to make this happen if it's going to happen for anyone in the Salt Lake Valley, because you can't just cut them out, right? You can't just cut those schools out. It would be massively unfair. And I think that the smart thing to do is to be as prudent as possible and make concessions that would bring in the Salt Lake schools. That's what they have to do, right?
Yeah, so here's what we do. So my kid plays baseball, and it's a Salt Lake City league. And you know what they do? They play in Holiday. that's what they've done, is they've said, hey, those games are going to be played in Holiday. And then they just kind of do these rogue practices. But they can't do that at the school level.
Different. Yeah, you can't do that with the schools. But someone else texted this in, which I think is another position that is not unreasonable. and that is this. Sports are not mandatory. If someone participates and gets sick, they do by their own choice, knowing there's a risk of that. Now, that is true. But focusing just on that first part, sports are not mandatory. We don't have to do the sports. We'll be fine. Because not only do you have the kids together mixing it up, but you also bring in all the adults into sometimes large crowds.
Well, we have, you know,
which is an issue. And, yeah. And I don't think we should be afraid to, if it comes to it, say, you know what? We love sports. We're really sorry, guys. But.
Well, this is something happening. That. So on the college level, ESPN has a commentator, Paul Feinbaum, who does most of his work with the SEC and everything. And his comment was, I don't see any justifiable reason for us to have a season, a college football season. And, you know, and I asked Scott about that, and he was like, look, the thing is that there's actually technically no reason to have any sport. I mean, there's really actually no quote-unquote good reason. You could say, yeah, there's no – we like it. It's a leisure activity. And that's it. You know, it's different from going to school. But I mean, but somebody who has experience with sports and got a lot out of it, I feel obviously that it's a lot more. And most people do. And there's not just, our entertainment on the line. It's also these athletes, this is their livelihood in a lot of cases, in the sense of it's going to prove to be the thing that they do after college. And if not, it's also going to be the thing that gets them through college on a scholarship or whatever it might be. So sports aren't just like this total worthless thing and we can't justify it because it's just a leisure activity for us. It's a whole industry. And well, so at the high school level, it's that just backed off to, you know, a lot. But, I mean, it's still super important. I think about all these athletes that are busting their tails right now. There are people out there, getting conditioned for the season in the weight room, trying to figure out how they can have a good season or trying to have the best football season they can for their senior year, maybe get seen or looked at or get that scholarship offer, and being able to tell them, hey, yeah, we're going to have a sports season this year is good. Now, here's the question. Do you have the 2,000 people show up for the football game that night? Or do you just have these without
– That's the other risk.
Or do you have them without fans?
You're right. That's the other risk, because you've got the risk of spreading through the team, and then you've got the risk of spreading through the fans. Those are the two points.
I just – you know, and I hope that they can figure it out, because I want them to play. I really do. But I wonder if there's just that personal, like, bias that I have where I'm grumpy at the Pac-12 for saying we're bagging these games this year, and it's really – a smart move versus me just wanting them to have the, you know, to play BYU versus Utah.
I'm also glad that you pointed out that sports is more than just entertainment. And I have one short thing to say when we come back.
We will come back, though. We've got more to go on the program. Stay with us. It's a Friday edition of the show. We're having some fun this evening. We hope you can, too. Got some health news around the corner. Stay with us. More to go after news, traffic, and weather on the Nightside Project.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it on this special limited edition now summer season of the show.
What I tell you about your all rights, man? You got to limit the all rights.
Did I say it again?
All right. It's fine.
Well, let's get started.
Let's jump into the next portion of the show. By the way, we're getting text messages from people who will snitch on their neighbors for not wearing masks. This is one that says, look, they said, and so people in Utah snitch like crazy, like telling their religious leaders about everything. There's another one. Where did it go? It basically said, oh, yes, I would love to snitch on my neighbors as I peer out the window during quarantine. Give me something to look at while I look out the window during quarantine. Mm-hmm. It's part of the deal. 575-00 is a text number. Yes.
You know that if you gave the opportunity of people, if you give people the opportunity to snitch, which is what some municipalities are doing, and it's a mistake, it's too subjective. You know, it's too subjective because you're asked to wear masks in public. But, you know, if you're out jogging around a park and there's really no one around for the most part, then you're fine. Obviously, you're fine.
Yeah.
But you're going to have people out there at the park clicking away with their iPhone. Oh, look at that person, you know, running over there 30 feet away. He doesn't have a mask on. That's why it's going to be so lame.
Yeah.
But setting that aside.
You said you had something to say about the sports.
Yeah,
thing.
About sports. So,
yeah, what is it?
And this is a new thing for me. Because I never really followed sports a lot, but I have recently. And I've gotten to know a lot more people in sports. And I used to think it was frivolous. It was just a game, and it was fun, but it was not important.
And boy, we take it way too seriously and everything, yeah.
And I don't think that's the case. And I think it's because of just the high-quality people that I've met who've built their lives around athletics. I think it very clearly provides strong benefits to individuals that I think shouldn't be shrugged off, but should be expanded and encouraged. And I'm not just talking about personal fitness, right? Which is important and increasingly important in our community, but also leadership skills, the ability to listen, the ability to focus, the ability to take direction and to be coached, and that respect for that authority, and to be able to work together in a team.
You know what it was for me? You know what it was for me?
Understand your role.
It was.
And those are important.
The other thing is kind of knowing like a physical limit that you have and pushing through barriers and just going, okay, I got to tell myself I'm getting through this part. I got to get through this part.
And I never took that very seriously, but in my mind, looking at it now, just from the people that I've met, that's clear to me. Now, I'm not saying that the right decision is to push forward with sports despite the risk. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that I don't think that it's right to dismiss sports, athletics in high school as frivolous or not important any more than any of the other classes that a young person might take in high school. That's my two cents.
From a traditional non-sports follower / you know, not a heavy participant in sports growing up. There's Ethan Millard's two cents. So here we go.
There's my two cents.
I want to jump in with a little bit of health news here on the program on a Friday. Might as well.
Just as awkward as it was in junior high.
Ew, gross.
Pull up a desk for Nightside Health Class.
Okay, so first I want to start off by saying this. We have this amazing bottle of Purell here in the studio. And I want you to imagine the bottle of Purell, right? Amber's got some in her little studio over there behind the glass. And I've got one in here. I'm telling you right now, I haven't touched it for about 3 weeks. You know why?
Why?
Because it's not real Purell. They've been refilling it with a garbage antibacterial that stinks.
Oh, is it one of those?
Oh, I can't stand it.
Yes. All the different distilleries.
It's garbage. Well, there's that. Oh, listen.
Because
there was the distillery ones that rolled through here that they could not freaking get rid of. They handed me some, and I was like, this is a cool spray bottle. My wife was like, what is that vomit that you have in your car? And I was like, what? She's like, I go, what? She goes, it stinks so bad in your car right now. I go, it's a new hand sanitizer. She goes, I sprayed it on my hands. I've got to take another shower. It's just disgusting. I'm telling you, there are only certain hand sanitizers that I will jam with, like the actual Purell. Okay, so, and, you know, kudos to our work because they're still providing us with these items. So there's my disclaimer to our bosses. Thank you very much. But this brand stinks. And part of the reason is because it's not our fault because Purell has been out. That's the whole thing. Purell, Clorox wipes, all those things have been out on shelves. Ethan,
yeah.
Purell right now is back on Amazon shelves and is ready for shipping. So if you go on today,
goodness.
I don't know if I'm doing people a favor here or I'm doing something wrong, but if you go on to Amazon today, there's an actual, think about how crazy 2020 is. There's a news article about how there's more Purell currently on Amazon. So they've... Purell is back on the shelves. You don't have to deal with the stinky off-brand stuff. that still will sanitize your hands, but leave you with your coworkers staring you down like, what happened to your hands? Why does it smell like a damp rainforest?
Yeah,
floor. It's a foot. It's like some weird. It's a weird thing. You think to yourself, okay, it stinks right now. It's going to dry. It's going to smell amazing.
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
And I'll tell you, Alex. In my view, if it doesn't burn my nose, it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
If I can't, well, listen. If I can eat it and it doesn't burn on the way going down, then I'm also not interested in using it.
Well, that's an interesting test. well, congratulations. You got your Purell back.
So, everybody, just that's a little favor for you. Go on to Amazon. If you're a Prime member, just go on. Get yourself some Purell shipped to the old house. You don't have to refill it with the fake off-brands. With Western Family brand, hand sanitizer that smells like the dump.
Next up on health news, the state of Mississippi was one of those states who just knew they just had politicians who just knew better than anyone else. And now they're having a little bit of a problem because dozens of state lawmakers have fallen ill with COVID-19, including the lieutenant governor and the speaker of the House. Apparently, none of the politicians bothered to wear masks or anything as they met in various sessions over the last couple of months. They just didn't care, didn't think it was important, and now they're all starting to get sick.
Yeah. Well, you remember I was telling you about this is also – this is relatively breaking news here. The Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott – you know, the Pac-12 announced that they're not going to be doing they're playing conference only games this fall. Their commissioner announced that he's got COVID-19. So there you go.
Yeah.
From the very top, sometimes the people that are going, hey, we're going to try to do all the things we can to make sure that we're staying safe. And then they all get it because they didn't actually follow their own guidelines.
Yeah.
And that's the real problem. I mean, people just not, you know, follow your own stuff, man. Just figure it out. Hey, Ethan, would you sign up for a COVID-19 vaccine trial?
Sure. Yeah, I'd do it.
Because currently, Americans can go and sign up for a COVID-19 vaccine trial. If you go to this website, coronaviruspreventionnetwork.org. Oh, boy.
Oh,
that's the worst website ever.
Hold on.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Type it in, or else I'm going to immediately forget.
Okay. Oh, I got it. Coronavirus Prevention Network is where it's all at, and I'm going to get totallyhealthy.com.
Network
oh, sorry.
Is where
no.
What now?
coronaviruspreventionnetwork.org.
.org.
Yeah. .org.ru.
Okay, yeah.
So you'll start downloading movies for free as well.
Phase 3 vaccine and monoclonal antibody efficacy studies for
there you
the prevention
go.
Of COVID-19.
So you can go and register to take part of the COVID-19 trials. Now the
All
question
right,
is, hold on, so you got to be at least 18. Here, tell me if this falls in your category.
Okay.
Over 18.
Mm-hmm.
The studies are going to start in the summer or fall.
Okay.
Website reads, the purpose of the screening registry is to create a list of potential volunteers who want to take part in the current COVID-19 prevention clinical trials. Interested parties need to take a short online survey. Okay. Selected parties will visit research sites 10 times over the next 1 to 2 years to monitor impact of the trial.
I don't know if I want coronavirus to be part of my life for 2 years.
For 2 years. Here's the thing, though, too. Because a lot of trials you get paid for. They didn't mention that, though.
Well,
you know?
They need to. Here's
the thing. Pay some of these people, man.
Well, they,
give them
yeah.
some. Like, you're injecting them, and you're like, we're just hoping this works, man.
Anyway,
give them
you
some,
need bus fare. I got bus tokens.
Texas, if you would sign up to. I would not. I mean, the reality is when a vaccine's ready, hit me up. I'm ready. I'll take it, you know? But I don't like being part of the trials. Trials.
Why not?
Because I know I'll be the guy that goes blind from it. You know, they'll go, side effects include some people went blind. And I'm just like, me, I'm that guy.
One guy went blind. We're really
just
sorry.
The one guy. Side effects include, and they start talking about psoriasis and diarrhea, and I start psoriarrhea. I mean, you start having all these.
Psoriarrhea.
Oh, that's terrible. Hey, you know what right now is the perfect time for? The break. Let's take that break.
A little bit of
Soriarrhea. Soriarrhea. Hashtag, dude. That's a new word.
Enjoy thinking about that.
All right. I got a vacation club for you. Annual pass holders have been able to go to Disney World, and what they're telling you looks different as it's going to be open tomorrow to the general public. 57500 is the text number. You can weigh in on the program. We've got all sorts of fun stuff still. Hey, by the way, next hour we got first world problems, so you can start sending them in. We'll start compiling them, and we'll read those on the air as well. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside, you've had a long day. So have we. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. We're just stomping through the show tonight. Alex, great job so far.
I'm doing this remotely. I'm in Mexico right now.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Enjoying that Mexican vacation that you just insisted on taking?
Does Mexico allow you to come in right now? I think Canada is not allowing...
I think Mexico's being kind of sticky, too.
Oh.
I think it kind of depends on where they are, but I've heard tale that Mexico's stiff-arming a few people at the border.
You know what? Fine. You don't need my dollars in Cancun. Fine.
Well, that's kind of their point. That's what they're saying. Yeah, we don't need your dollars right now.
Let me see here. Millard.
Speaking of Mexican vacations.
Yeah, what do you got?
What do you got? You got a little vacation club sounder for us?
Oh, yeah. I got some music for you. Yeah,
it's time to dream. Let's fire this thing.
The places you want to go and how to get there. It's the Nightside Vacation Club. Get a free night stay, but you have to stay for the whole presentation.
So, you know me, Alex. I love Disneyland. I've never been to Disney World, but boy, I just adore Disneyland. And the thought of being able to go at a time when the limiting access is really exciting. It's not going to work out for me. I'm not going to be able to do it. But I totally get why people
You've never been to Disney World? You've taken a Florida trip.
I have, but we didn't go to Disney World.
Well, let me just tell you what it is. It's Disneyland with a lot more acreage.
While you're taking a shower.
And it's like, and it's a lot of humidity.
Yeah.
So I would say that I still prefer Disneyland to Disney World. I don't know if that's blasphemous in the Disney World, but in the Disney.
Fine. Look, you like what you like, right?
I love Disneyland, but Disney World I've liked, but I prefer the other one. But that being said, they're still figuring out how to make this happen with people coming back tomorrow.
That's right. And a tourist site in Orlando has an interesting article where they revealed what was happening, what these experiences are like, because this week the Magic Kingdom opened its doors for a limited number of people. So as soon as guests pull into the parking lots, they've got employees, or should I say cast members, guiding cars to park in every other spot.
Spraying people down with Purell. Which, and, by the way, people have been texting in. They said, we looked on Amazon. You know how much it is? $10 for one of those bottles of Purell.
Well, do you want to be healthy and safe or not? So get out your wallet.
Sorry,
do you want that sting in your nose or
continue.
Not?
Continue.
Because you got to pay for it.
There you go.
All right? So Walt Disney World has not indicated how many people it is letting in, but apparently it was just annual pass holders that were welcome back for what they've seen this week. And people are really surprised by how few people are in the park. One pass holder said, quote, I had time in front of the castle by myself, and I've never been by myself in front of the castle, which I guess is good for photos.
Yeah.
Also, little to no wait lines. All Magic Kingdom rides were less than 30-minute wait.
Oh, for sure. And I told you that as I've driven by Lagoon when I got home at night, and I watch the what's that tall roller coaster? What's it called? Cannibal. As I watch the roller coaster car come out of Cannibal, and there's like two mm-hmm. people on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, boy, that would have been that's amazing.
One man told this reporter that they were able to ride all the rides at Magic Kingdom in all the rides they wanted to ride before 1 p.m.
They're like, I left because I was bored with all the rides. They were so boring.
One, one pass holder is a reporter with a TV news station. He said that on Avatar's Flight of Passage ride,
I've been on it. It's
a
amazing.
Big long wait. That he just basically walked on. The only reason they didn't totally walk on is that you had to go from social distance marker to social distance marker, which kind of broke it up. But it just kept moving. And at no point were they stopped for more than a few seconds. They just basically got
on
the
ride. That's one that I've personally stood in line for 90 minutes or 2 hours.
You know, Alex, I'll tell you what. If there was a realistic, and I don't want you to think that I'm not taking this seriously, right? But I got to tell you,
yeah.
If there was a realistic shot,
you'd go.
Yeah,
you would.
I think
if there's going to be a place that's figured it out, it's going to be Disney, right?
If Disney was like, hey man, 20% capacity, are you in?
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, I will tell you on that Avatar ride, the Flight of Passage or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 4D situation. So it's like an immersion.
What is 4D?
You get all the D's.
What happens in that other dimension?
I don't know if they call it that, but I think it's like some sort of like immersive.
I'm excited to ride it.
They bring your emotions into it. They bring up your childhood. That's what it is.
It's up, down, left, right, and inside of you.
And then they're like, they really get into like your childhood.
They ask you about
it's just therapeutic thing. No, but they hit you with that mist. They hit you with the smells and stuff in it. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, and then so you're wet the rest of the day.
But see, that's... But no, it's not wet. It's about... It basically is like a dinosaur sneezed on your face, which so, during COVID, mm-hmm. you don't want to have.
They do something similar in California.
Yeah. What's it called? The flying over California.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they come down, and they roll over those orchards.
Those orange groves. Yes.
And then they spray you.
Yeah, they hit you with the COVID. What they need to do is they need to spray it. They need to change the scent on it just to Purell scent.
Purell, yeah.
And that's why then you'll be able to know. Oh, I think we're all more safe for riding this. And,
or they could hit you with the distilled
the bleach.
No, with the distillery.
With the stinky distillery stuff.
And then when everyone retches and vomits. You'll purge.
You come off smelling like a non-alcoholic tequila. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. Ethan, you love cruises, or at least you pretend like you
love
cruises.
I love the idea of cruises. Never been on a cruise, but it's on my bucket list, yes.
So German cruise lines are saying, hey, we're going to fire this thing up in August.
Wow.
Which seems quick, you know? And some places are having a better go at fighting COVID than others. But these German cruise lines are saying, yeah, we're opening this thing up. By the way, you go on this cruise, we're not getting off anywhere. There are no port of calls. There are no land excursions. You're stuck on this thing. We're staying on board. We're not getting off to go anywhere. You're going to go on there. You're going to eat the food, the buffet, I'm assuming. I don't know. And then you're getting off after. So you'll cruise right on by Norway and wave as you go by, but you will not get off at any point during those cruises. I'm not sure. I think that's missing the point of the cruise, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you buy a cruise where you couldn't get off of it until the very end?
You know, so here's why. Maybe I would.
You might do it because of the food.
Because of the food.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things that I like about being in an airplane is that you can't be anywhere else. You can't do anything else. And there is something freeing about being, and I don't want you to misunderstand me.
Oh, here it comes.
There's something freeing about being trapped.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? Maybe you don't.
I don't.
We got a text from Kip.
What's he say?
Kip Norm says.
What's he say?
He says time is the fourth dimension.
Oh, okay.
So you're right, Kip. So yeah. Thank you. So that's
you know
Kip
what?
And Norm. He used hashtag KSL Brainiac.
If Disney can kind of figure out a time machine situation, we could probably go back and eat that bat that gave us COVID. I'll take the hit for the team, man. I'll eat that bat and then just go off into space.
Or, you know, the real trick would just be no one eat the bat.
No one eat the bat. No, I'll eat it. Because I don't want anybody to eat it.
All right. And then you can go, we'll put you in a tent.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll just get launched out to space. And I'll come back. I mean, I'm not gonna die out there.
No. You'll get out there, and you'll get out there in space. And
right. And I'll be symptomatic for a minute, and then I'll come back. Be fine.
Well, and, you know, maybe the coronavirus can't survive in weightlessness.
Oh, that's amazing. Ethan, there's another supersonic jet that's rolling out this fall, possibly.
Oh, good.
Boom supersonic jets. You know the Concorde, which flew its last flight back in 2003. Can you believe it's that long ago?
I know. I feel so sad about it still.
It is, because it's one of those things that – but so 50 years after the Concorde took its first flight, a new supersonic jet is trying to figure out how to become part of that supersonic industry. A Denver-based startup, Boom Supersonic, is rolling out its XB-1, which would be a 1 to 3 scale of its upcoming supersonic jet, Overture, that will be – so October 7th, they're going to test this thing. And they're going to start doing test flights in 2021, but it's going to be ultra, or it's going to be supersonic speeds. Man,
I love
going across
that
the
idea.
Ocean.
And you know what? One of the directions that Virgin Galactic might take. I watch Virgin Galactic very, very carefully because I picked up late last year. I picked up some shares in it, so I've been watching it enthusiastically. And one of the options that they're kind of leaving open for themselves is this long distance travel. Into space. So you go up into space and then back down again.
And you're
super fast.
Right.
Super fast.
Okay. Well, there you go. Keep your eyes on Boom. It's called Boom. So, it would be pretty easy one to figure out. We're taking the break here. We've got our second hour coming up of the program. Headlines are going to be next. Consumer news are coming up. Also, your first world problems. We've already got a couple in that are making me chuckle. So keep the text rolling in for your first world problems at 57500. Only the things that we can complain about here in the first world. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside.
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 This is the Nightside Project.
I may be super, but
I am no hero.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We're going to do first world problems here in just a little while, so you can get those coming in.
You got to send them in.
57500.
Absolutely.
But first, though, we got some headlines. You ready?
Yes. Ethan always throws out the headlines here, first segment of every second hour here on the show. Ethan gives us the headlines. And this one, you're kind of audibling on this one, yes?
Yeah, this one actually just popped up on Deseret News. This is from their Deseret News. This is an editorial board opinion piece. It says, in our opinion, Governor Herbert, what are you waiting for? As COVID-19 cases soar, hospitals are worried about future capacity. What information is the governor lacking? Now, what I thought was interesting here is they're saying, look, just do a statewide mask requirement.
Yeah.
And then they actually used the governor's own words against him. So he said this. They point out that the governor has given the people of the state until August 1st to demonstrate enough voluntary compliance to the mask social distancing recommendations. If not, more drastic measures may be needed. And then they use Governor Herbert's own words against him again. He says this, and I'll just read straight from the editorial. In his own words spoken Thursday, he said the state could handle a 7-day rolling average of up to 800 cases per day. But, quote, as we get up to 800, it's like the wings coming off a plane. We don't want to wait for it to happen. A day later, the state reported 867 new cases.
That was today.
Why wait for that to become a week long?
Well, and it's interesting. The other thing they talk about, too, is like, look, we're gonna tell every student, teacher, faculty member, everybody who shows up at any school, public school K-12 this year, that they have to wear masks at school. But if we don't do anything running up to that in terms of having the general public wear masks at more of a required state and a more, you know, that we're required to do it, then we're going to have a problem. And that it kind of defeats the purpose that we're just going to be walking in at, like our school, for example, up in Davis County starts on August 25th. And if you kind of let things just roll till then, and then we say, okay, now we're going to get serious about putting masks on, by then we might have just so many numbers that it might be a real problem. It might be too late.
Yeah, and I think they're making good points here. The governor's kind of been a little bit hapless through this whole process. And, you know, when the numbers came roaring back, it was met with kind of a shrug. He just basically shrugged and said, well, I already said you should wear a mask. And, you know, there was kind of that pressure there, and that sudden shock prompted some action. But it's a lot of it just feels like Governor Herbert looking busy, you know, and that's too bad.
Well, I'm all for it.
Predictable, though. I mean, if you really followed.
Hey, and then Ethan, all of our dreams could come true, because then we could start tattling on neighbors.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted, right? They're the last in doing Indiana does.
The tattle line.
Don't call 911. Just call the Mask Enforcement Agency, and they will take care of all of that for you. 57500 is the
text
number.
He could just give out his cell phone number. if you see someone not wearing a mask, just call me.
Call me. It's Governor Herbert's cell phone there, and send me the old text message. Who's doing it? Send me a picture of him, and I'll see if I can recognize him. All right, Millard, what else do you have on the old headlines there?
On the old headlines, Salt Lake City could get a new flag.
Oh, I saw these.
They've got a contest going right now to see if they want to pick a new flag, and honestly, they should. Alex, I want to do this though as we start.
What?
I would like to congratulate you.
What?
Because more than 10 years ago, you and I started a movement in this state. When we started pointing out how stupid our flags
are. How terrible our flags are.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it was the focus of several shows that we did. And this was, and I'm saying this was a long time ago. And we found the international rules for flags. And there are actual rules in place for how you do flags. And we pointed out that in Utah, we don't follow any of the rules. And all of our flags are lame. And we pulled out all these rules. These are the rules. We got to get better flags, newer flags, new designs, proper designs. And now, as I look at what's happening here, and there's a matching effort at the state level as well. Salt Lake City now has some really cool designs, all of them within the rules. All of them following the rules of flag design.
Yeah.
And I want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate myself. And I think back then our producer was Chase. And I want to congratulate Chase, our producer Chase, back in the day.
Ethan, you remember? So the study of flags is...
We did it.
The study of flags is vexillology, okay? And if you are intensely figuring out how to... It's basically this. If you can pull off just a simple... The whole thing, the first rule of flag design is keep it simple. That's what the Vexillological Association says. The North American Vexillological Association says, first rule of flag design... Keep it simple. The current Salt Lake City flag is basically what they roll up with the logo on the side of their truck. It's almost just their logo.
It's absurd.
You know what I mean? It's just a kind of a Wasatch background and a bleh, like kind of skyline of the city. And it's like turquoise and green. And it's lame. It's not good. And then the one before that was, I was like, this looks like something my kid would draw up. And then we found out. It was art students at Highland High School in the 60s who put that together. It looked like a pencil drawing of Brigham Young coming into to the valley, and like as the drawing depicts, pours nacho cheese on the in the rivers, because it was like such a bad drawing of like it was a terrible flag. That was the Salt Lake City's original flag. Was that so?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't good. I picked out a favorite, and I know it's not your favorite. I deduced that from our conversation.
So I didn't like the first one because I didn't think that the mountains were given enough due. But go ahead.
I like it a lot. So there's one of them, and I mean you're not wrong, right? The mountains aren't necessarily there explicitly, but I like it for what it represents. But it is basically the flag is divided horizontally in half. The upper half is white. The lower half is a kind of a pale blue, and it represents Salt Lake. Salt on the upper side, lake
salt,
on the bottom
is white,
side,
and then lake on the bottom. Yeah,
salt is
lake.
White. The blue lake, Salt Lake.
I like it. It does look like when they said keep it simple, they're not messing around. That is the most simplistic one. Now, if we're gonna stay on that simple, there's one that is. That I like, that is basically, it's still a white and blue kind of situation, only imagine the Charlie Brown shirt, okay, that's yellow with the black line. Imagine that, but with blue, and those are the mountains, okay? So it's just a flag with, like, well, the white, and I think it's actually two lines, but it's white mountains and a blue flag. And and just the lines as mountains, and I thought that's where we're at. I want us to have you got the white and the blue there, just like Ethan had, and you also have the mountains.
Yeah,
don't
I
forget
like that
the
one
mountains.
Too.
Don't forget the mountains.
Can I make a prediction on which one is going to win?
Yeah, there's a couple of busier ones, and when I say I mean it because there's one with a bee on it, kind of a hexagonal situation with like a the honey. The industry kind of situation.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like
one
those as much.
So
there's
much.
One with like a seagull lily in the middle, and it's like, you know.
That one's very pretty.
It's nice, but yeah, people aren't like, oh, just what my city stands for. I think
the one that's going to win.
What?
Is the one that has the blue band across the bottom, the white mountains, and the gold sky.
Okay.
The blue star. I think that's the one that's ultimately going to win. That's not my absolute favorite pick, but I think that's the one that's ultimately going to win. And I like it, though, because it's got the lake, it's got the mountains, but it's got that star. That star's kind of cool because the star represents Salt Lake being the capital city.
Ethan, our local vexillologist, weighing in on the flag design of Salt Lake City. There you go.
Yeah.
I think, no, they're all – the thing is they all went the route of being pretty simple, though. So that's why it's good. Somebody sent a text in and says, Governor Herbert – that sounds a little bit like Steve Stimulus Barn after a couple of cocktails. And and not just Stimulus Barn, the fireworks. Steve's fireworks. You remember this? We'll play the fireworks one because I want to listen to hear what it sounds like to see if that's what it actually does sound like. We're going to take a break here. We got more to go here on the Nightside Project. Get your first world problems in. 57500. Stay with us on the Nightside Project and KSL News Radio.
Credibility. Also absurd news. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery on this special limited edition summer season of the program.
Millard.
We really appreciate it.
I dug up the Steve's firework commercial they were brief sponsors of the program. Mm. I assume they'd come back during the Pioneer
24th.
Day stuff.
Yeah, the 24th. Yeah, for sure there will be.
But this is what it sounds like. Somebody said it sounds vaguely like Governor Herbert a little bit.
Hey there, folks. Steve here from Steve's Freedom Fireworks Stand. Coronavirus ruined your 4th of July plans this year? Well, tell the Rona you're not ruining my fun this year. Come on down to Steve's Freedom Fireworks off of Westbound Belt Route here in West Valley. Everything here half off today, starting today. Rocket blasters, half off. Real edible cake fireworks, half off. Roman candelabras to hold your Roman candles, half off. Whirling dervishes, you said it, half off. Smoke bombs that smell like smoked brisket, that's right, half off. Bring in your illegal Wyoming fireworks and Old Steve will dispose of them properly and give you a pair of distressed jeans from my uncle's estate sale. Steve, I thought fireworks are irresponsible, you might be saying to yourself over there. Well, they are, so come in and get a free mask to fight Corona with any purchase. Missing a finger or other appendage from previous firework accident? Take another 20% off. Not the finger, just your prices. And Steve's Freedom Fireworks Stand will take care of you just off the freeway over by the gas station that your mom always told you to stay away from here in West Valley.
There you go. You sound vaguely
like... I love the discount
like,
for the fingers. Smart.
It's a different five-finger discount. It's the one where if you've lost all five fingers, you actually get a pretty big discount.
Yeah. It's just smart. Very, very smart.
I didn't hear that. You think that Governor Herbert's running a fireworks stand on the side?
I have no idea what they're talking about.
He sounded more vaguely Canadian than he did Governor Herbertish.
Didn't sound like Governor Herbert.
He wasn't speaking
in
Herbertese.
The least.
He was not speaking Herbertese.
Can I give you a sample of first world problem?
Oh, yeah. People are already sending them in, yeah?
Yeah, first world problem.
What do you got?
I already had breakfast cake and lunch cake. Can't decide if I should also have cake for dessert. And my answer is, yeah, man.
I'm saying if they had, cake for breakfast, cake for lunch, and then a sensible cake dinner. That's, remember when Tommy Lasorda used to say it? He's like, hey, I'm wearing sweatpants all day. You know what I like? To drink these, what was it called? Slim Fast. You have Slim Fast for breakfast, Slim Fast for lunch, Slim Fast as
Slim
an IV.
Slim Fast for 2 o'clock snack. Slim Fast for 3 o'clock snack.
All right. 5-7
7 fast at 4.
You could send it in 57500. Your first world problems. All right.
Okay.
Millard, what did we say we're going to be doing right now? We're doing our I think we're doing the consumer news right now.
Yeah,
aren't we?
Man, hit it.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's just jump right in here. There you go.
Nightside consumer news. It could save your life. Or not.
Don't eat the fireworks. They're not cake fireworks.
For
don't eat
sakes.
Them. Yeah.
Unless they're marked edible cake fireworks from Steve's stimulus fireworks.
And look, those smoke bombs that smell like brisket, they're tempting because they get the old salivation glands going.
So Chick-fil-A has canceled an event they do every year that I actually was completely unaware of. And I'm a little bit surprised I wasn't aware of this because this sounds like the kind of thing that I would notice.
Yeah, what is it?
Or know about. Well, they've canceled their annual Cow Appreciation Day. Now, you know Chick-fil-A's big marketing thing is don't eat cows, eat chickens. and so they have this Cow Appreciation
Day. They have
now,
these cows that don't know how to spell.
It was
representing
that's right.
their company. Yeah.
They put up terrible, terrible billboards, but they get the message out. And this event was scheduled to take place July 14th. But thanks to the coronavirus, they've canceled it. And the event wasn't. Have you ever heard of this? On this day, if you showed up dressed as a cow, you got free food.
Oh, I remember these. Yes, no, I do remember these.
This is completely new to me.
No, that when you say Cow Appreciation Day, but when you, I didn't know it. I was like, nah, I'm not familiar with it. But when you say, hey, it's the day that everybody dresses up like cows to get free stuff, then I remember.
Because we used to live completely unaware.
Look, because the Chick-fil-A, the Sugar House Chick-fil-A, we would drive by that one, and it would be a line out the door of people dressed like cows.
Wow.
Yeah, and they get, you know, the free stuff because we're not. I think here in Utah, we love free stuff more than anybody else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And people were rolling up, and they were definitely in the cow outfits to get the free stuff. So
well. I can certainly appreciate a good costume party.
Yeah,
but it's canceled. So,
Ethan, you're one of those guys that still puts pants on to go to work, right?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
Even when I'm working from home, even when I'm doing the video conference from home,
Are you wearing a suit right now?
I've changed my shirt since I got home, but I'm still wearing my shoes. Although right now I've been wearing these.
What do we call them?
They're kind of like loafers. Crocs? They're kind of like the moccasins. I've been wearing moccasins because of my ankle. Because I've got this ankle brace.
Because of my ankle.
I got this ankle brace.
I forgot you have a soft ankle brace because of the, since the accident. What happened? You were walking?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the end of the story.
Yep. All right,
you're an old guy.
I know.
You were attacked by
an Al-Qaeda cell.
Yeah.
And I was able to save the lives of several school children
yes,
that were
before
nearby.
It happened. Now, here's the thing.
But I did sprain my ankle in the process.
Here's the thing, though. Does Cottonwood Heights, is it a city or a town? What is it?
Cottonwood Heights is a city.
Village? So Cottonwood Heights City, do they know that they're about to get hit with a massive lawsuit for...
Do they know that I'm going to own the city when this is over?
for not... Now, was it because...
They're completely unaware.
Was it a dip in the sidewalk, or was it like a mini mountain on the sidewalk?
The square sidewalk had buckled, and it was broken at about a two-thirds point, and it's lifted... a number of inches.
Is it a tree root? Is that what we're talking about here?
I don't know. And
probably seismic. Seismic activity there in Cottonwood Heights, man.
Well, it could maybe it's from the earthquake. Did you feel that earthquake?
Yeah,
did you feel it?
Probably.
And then a big chunk of one of the sides was missing. So
did you fall?
No.
Did you go down?
Fall.
Oh, that's good for you.
No, Al-Qaeda didn't take me down.
You got hit by that sniper, but you were up. You popped
right
back
even with my rolled ankle, I was able to finish off the last few of them.
This long introduction to this story is that clothing stores that sell almost exclusively business attire are really struggling.
That was
because
we went through all that to get to this story.
Yeah, because guys like Ethan. Are the only ones that are trying to keep everybody afloat here.
Look, I'm telling you, man, wear a shirt and tie in your stupid Zoom meetings. I don't know what the big deal is.
But don't forget the pants either.
Yeah, man. I mean, if that's how you dress at work, then dress like that for your Zoom meeting.
Look at this.
I think you got to show some respect.
Brooks Brothers, which I didn't know this. This is over 200-year-old company and has dressed 40 U.S. presidents, is filing for bankruptcy. As the pandemic has hit them, maybe as hard as I mean, can you believe that? They are a 202-year-old business.
Yeah.
And they are all about just, you know, that higher end, or just, you know, maybe kind of middle range.
Yeah, it's a mall store.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's a, you know, yes, good quality on the upper end for sure.
Yeah, and so it's just a weird thing to think that a company that's been around for so long wouldn't be able to weather something that really has only happened for the last couple of months, you know, I mean, or for the last like 4 or 5 months. But I think part of it is because the forecasts are still not good. And people might be saying they're going to come back to work, but the reality is that people don't have the money to buy the full suit at work. Here's the other thing that happens. According to the article, a lot of companies are just cool with kind of whatever you're wearing now. They're just like, hey, I know we used to be all wearing suit coats to work, but, you know, you're cool wearing that frock.
Well, I really think that, you know, whether or not you're still putting a tie on for your Zoom meetings, you need to be fully dressed. Don't try and do the whole, I'm going to get away with wearing my pajama bottoms and a nice shirt, because you don't know what's going to happen, man. Your dog could pull your computer off the little table and all of a sudden everyone sees that you're wearing pajama pants and bare feet or worse. And we've seen it. Christopher Reeve's son was on the news in his underwear.
Oh, yep. But he had a nice shirt on and a nice tie.
He blew it, man.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
I think that he did that on purpose. He's like, whoa, my legs are ripped. Whoops. Guess you saw my ripped calves.
Can you see? Oh,
on the Zoom call.
I'm so embarrassed. Hold on a second. Let me flex.
Hold on.
I'm so embarrassed.
All right. We're going to take the break here. We got news, traffic, and weather here at the bottom. And then we're taking your first world problems. We're going full on into the weekend here, taking your first world problems. What the things that only we here in the first world could complain about. Even during COVID, you've got something you can complain about that you should feel a little bit guilty that you're complaining about. Stay with us. More to go. The Nightside Project continues.
Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project.
Look at the size of that boy's head. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It's summer now. They told me this would be temporary.
It cannot end soon enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. We're going to do some first world problems. But Alex, a short while ago, we got a request for a shout out. Are we doing those?
Yes. Sure. Look, I think we were doing it at one point, and then...
Because there were BYU peeps. I think they were chit-chatting with you.
Oh, well, then keep it going, man. Yeah, let's do it. Are you saying that I would know what the shout out is?
Yeah, I just remembered that it was on there. Someone on our end had engaged that.
Right. I think it might have been me, maybe. And I couldn't remember if it was. We basically said, yeah, and I think it was, I had asked them because they said that they had moved to Texas or something, right? Something.
But they were still catching Nightside every night.
Right, which, I'll find that one while we go through some of these world problems. So send your first world problems in. Ethan, explain what the first world problems are.
First world problems are just things that are annoying to you that, you know, you might be embarrassed or ashamed about being so bothered by it just because our lives can be so good here in the U.S. But still, let's all sit together and commiserate about those things that even though they're not a big deal, they still drive us absolutely up the wall.
I think we usually have some.
I think we do.
We usually have some music that we.
I think we do.
That we play along with that as well.
So let me hit a. Let me hit a few here.
Okay.
But you've got to get that music going.
Listen,
there
we
go.
I told you I was going to be getting
going. There we go.
Okay.
All right. First world problem. My husband and I can't agree on whether to use Zoom or Google Meet to stream our son's baptism.
That's pretty good.
It's good. That's a great COVID first world problem. Thank you. Wife took over Nintendo Switch for Animal Crossing. I can't buy another one because they're out of stock.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a real problem, man.
That is, yeah. Jeez. Great first world. Some really good ones. Here's one. Finally got Xbox Live worthy internet at the house, but Call of Duty needs an 11 gig update before I could play it. This is from Daniel. Oh, Daniel. Let me tell you something. My Xbox has gotten an earful out of me. when it comes to those Call of Duty updates. They are bonkers. Bonkers.
Oh, they're good? Or good? Or
well, yeah, the updates are great. They are massive. Massive downloads. Okay. All right.
First of all, problem. Can't find any of the three books I was looking for at the Ken Sanders Rare Books.
Oh, really? Because that's where you do find the books.
That's where you find the books.
That's where
you
find the books
usually.
You can't find at other places. Yeah. Let's see here. Costco toilet paper rolls are too big to roll freely. Now, that is something that happens that does bother me when they kind of get stuck.
Ethan.
Yeah.
When you cut along the dotted line, but the cheese still is sealed shut.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? The packaging?
Don't get me started.
You're like, I followed your directions.
Do not get me started. with all this heat, the algae in my pool is growing so fast I have to treat it every day. Oh. And there's so many different chemicals. Bromine, chlorine, muriatic acid, cyanic, pH, alkalinity, hardness,
etc. Yeah, well, listen, if you don't, you can get the old, you know this is a thing? Hot tub folliculitis.
Oh, geez.
It is. It's a thing, man. Look it up.
Sounds like a movie. Hot tub folliculitis.
Let me see.
First world problem. I tested my Escalade and got a BMW.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I traded in my Escalade, got a BMW. There's so many buttons and gadgets, it's taking me forever to figure out some of the most basic things, like where the door lock unlock button is on the inside of the car. That's from Hefikid. We haven't heard from him in quite a while.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Let me see here. Glare from the floor to ceiling windows in my new office make it hard to watch HBO Max on my 27-inch 4K monitor at work. Well, geez. Streaming HBO Max at work? Dare you.
Someone else is saying that they remember us having this exact same Chick-fil-A conversation about the costumes.
No way.
On the podcast a few years ago.
Well, look.
Which I guess I can't put it past.
You know what I'm just going to say now? I believe them. We've talked about everything that one could talk about, it seems like.
So let's just wrap it up tonight.
Let's just be done. let me see. Pizza tracker on my app for Domino's is not moving fast enough.
Oh,
you know,
come
they're
on.
Like, they're like, Mike, just put your pizza in the oven. Mike's taking a break. Mike quit. So has a picture of
Mike
has a
is
picture
being chased
of,
by police.
Yeah,
Mike crashed his car into a fire hydrant and is now running.
Mike hasn't paid his child support payments in quite a few months. You're like, geez,
turn
this
on
is
cops
really
to
detailed.
See your pizza delivery person. why would we assume that would happen?
I don't know.
Well, I have the greatest respect for pizza delivery guys.
I know. I'm just saying. No, that's not. Mine wasn't even the delivery guy. It was the guy who cooks it, you know?
Oh, the chef.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes, the chefs.
It's the pizza chef.
Can't trust those guys.
Can't trust that guy at all.
All right.
What is
here's
this?
Here's another one. First world problem, having only things to complain about and nothing to celebrate.
Oh,
on the
yeah.
4th of July.
No, look, it's not about complaining.
A governor who doesn't want to make it mandatory to wear a mask is enough of a first world problem. It's too bad he doesn't remember he's a lame duck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have to do it. Somebody said it earlier. They're like, hey, this guy doesn't have to report to anybody.
He doesn't have to report to work.
He can stream HBO Max while he's at the office, man.
No kidding. I mean, he doesn't have to leave his bedroom at this point.
Sat by the pool too long. Sunburn's kind of itchy.
Mm.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's hot tub folliculitis, bro.
Yeah. First world problem, your city needing a new flag.
Yeah. It's,
look at this one. The tires for my car cost $700 each.
Oh, my goodness. What do you drive?
Whew.
It's either a massive truck or it's like a specialty, you know, like a
racing tire.
Yeah, one of these Pirelli. One of these Pirelli for Porsches kind of situation.
Yeah,
let me see here. Oh, our music stopped. Hold on. We still have a couple here we can do. Very bad Wi-Fi connection on the toilet. Oof.
First world problem, like. Trading out the guest bedroom. Wait, something with the guest bedroom. I'm trying to figure out where to put a 2-year supply of toilet paper. Oh, yeah. It's going in the guest bedroom.
Yeah, it's got to.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have any guests in there right now. You know, and if somebody says, can I come over and stay in your guest bedroom? You go, sorry, the COVID. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to stay at your house. Tell you what, stay at your house and quarantine for a couple weeks. And if you don't have COVID, then we'll see where we're at. And then they're like, "Well, my vacation time's over after that." Ooh, sorry.
Here it is. Here's the shout out. It just got. It was sent back in.
Oh, good.
Shout out to my wife, Natalie, for being so patient and kind.
Oh, Natalie.
We moved to Texas for my work, and she had to leave her sisters and family in this crazy time. She's my best friend and hero. Well done, Natalie.
Natalie.
Unfortunately, we can't do shout-outs. So.
Can't do shout-outs. Just told by the bosses that saying congratulations to Natalie for being an amazing wife is not allowed on the air. Can't do
but
it.
But we know you'll enjoy Texas.
Hey, my parents did the same thing. They did. They jumped down to Texas for 20 years.
So I've got siblings in Texas. In fact, you'll be interested to know this.
You have more siblings in Texas than any other place?
The bulk of the Millard family is now
Texas. Are you kidding?
Well, because my sister threw the numbers, because she's got seven kids.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
By numbers,
seven
she kind of threw it into Texas.
Jeez.
That's, you know. Because she really went for it. And so, yeah, most Millards are now Texans. And I've got mixed feelings about that.
Let me see here. 57500. Keep getting deliveries of champagne. The bottles are really thick, and it's making my recycle bin very heavy.
Oh, I
get
see.
Get out of here. Just, I'll just celebrating all, just celebrating all the time.
Did I ever tell you about the night I spent in Paris? I know I must have shared this story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I wanted to see. I was on a 12-hour flight. It was an overnight layover.
This is a wait. Hold on. I'm keeping the music up because this is a total first world problem.
And
like goes to Paris. It's not as romantic as you thought.
It was fun. I was by myself. It was
right.
Great. It was a beautiful night. I just really enjoyed it. And I saw the Champs-Élysées with the lights off. And I saw the Arc de Triomphe with all the lights off. And I saw the Eiffel Tower with all the lights off. And I went to the Eiffel Tower. I'm standing underneath. It's completely dark, right? There's just a few people around. And this guy comes up to me. And like what happens in Europe, right? He says, a black market guy, right? He says, hey, you want to buy some cigarettes?
Cigarette?
And I said, no, thanks.
Cigarette?
And he goes, what about champagne? You want to buy some champagne?
Okay, awesome.
Holy cow. This is only in Paris.
He had a bottle. Did he have the bottle?
No, I think it must have been nearby.
He had to source it out.
He was going to lure me to a van, I'm sure. but you know, I went to school in Europe.
Oh, European abduction. And then Liam Neeson would have to save you. Jeez.
You know, I went to school in Europe, and I've got a lot of experience over there. And I've been pitched a lot of street-level merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
First time champagne, though, under the Eiffel Tower. And I thought,
that's where it would be.
Moment.
Yeah, that's where it would be.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take the break here. We're going to come back. We're going to have what you learned on the program, probably round off a few more of our first world problems as well, because we love them so much, and we love you so much. So stay with us. The Nightside Project continues right here on KSL News Radio.
Friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, our last segment here on the Nightside Project. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to polish off a few of these first world problems, and we're also doing what did you learn on the Nightside Project today?
Oh.
And I just started laughing because I saw the first what did you learn text to come through.
What
tonight.
About the, do you want this music right now, or do you want
sure.
the, okay.
So tonight I learned Hot Tub Folliculitis is the worst movie sequel ever.
Hey, you know what? Here, you know what? I'll do you a favor. Go home. Just do yourself a quick Google search of hot tub folliculitis.
Nope. Here's a first world problem that came in. Tired of seeing all my sick patients in the parking lot when it's 95 degrees outside. Have to do this because they might have
the COVID.
That is hard. It's hard on doctors right now, for sure. I work with a few, and
I still want to know what kind of car this person has.
It's the $700.
$700 tires.
Text him back and say what kind of car you got, bro.
Bruh. What kind of truck?
Call the whip though.
Should I just
ask him
roll
about his whip?
No. I'm gonna roll hard and go. Hey man, how much lift do you have on that Cummins diesel?
Mm-hmm. What kind of truck y'all got?
Exactly what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let me see here. 575.
I learned that Chick-fil-A canceled free Kids Day due to psoriasis.
I forgot psoriasis.
How did this become a theme on our show tonight? What happened? Psoriasis.
We got a couple of big. We got a couple of big, you know, side effects that you don't want. Mm-hmm. Side effects include hot tub folliculitis and psoriasis. That's one you don't want.
I learned Alex has a fear of going blind. LOL, love you guys. It's from Bergen.
Okay, that's not fair.
If it ever hits you, you got Bergen. Bergen will help you through it.
Well, but here's what I was saying. As a side effect to a medicine that you're taking, it seems like it's a legitimate fear to have. When they say, hey, take this medicine, you could get cured or go blind. You don't know. You don't know which one you're going to get. Mm-hmm. By the way, there was a someone called out Scott Mitchell because we were talking about face masks. Because Scott, we were talking about snitches. And Scott took a picture of a guy on a plane who was wearing one of the, he called it a splatter shield.
Oh, yeah, like doctors wear.
He's got so he had one of those face shields on the plane. And Scott's like, I got to take a picture of this and send it to Alex. He takes the picture. The guy is looking at him right when he's taking the picture. So this picture that Scott took of this guy on the airplane and then sent to me is just the guy looking over at Scott like, huh? Why are you taking this picture? And Scott's got his dumb phone pointed right at this guy to shame him on the plane for wearing one of those.
I think the face shields are smart. There are a few employees at the Costco that we go to that use those.
But he said, no, the face shield's fine. He said it was a little bit strange because the face shield, he took it right off when he got on the plane and he put a regular mask on. And then he proceeded to, like, he put it on the seat and then he's, like, rubbing his face the whole time. It was a weird thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I think the guy was just trying to, somebody says psoriasis is my daughter's name. Come on. Does sound almost biblical, doesn't it? Oh, my goodness.
This show. I wonder if Kevin's glad we're winding it up again. He's like, over. Oh, now I remember what
something,
happened.
Something, upset stomach, psoriasis.
Yeah. Earlier this year, he's like, whatever happened to the Nightside Project? Now he's all,
never mind.
Today I learned that most Millards are Texans.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they are.
I'm glad.
I got two like that. Here's one from Daniel. I learned that a good portion of Millards live in my state and that Ethan says, all right, almost as much as he used to say moron. Did I say moron a lot?
Oh, Ethan. Okay, hold on. I'm going to have a little moment with the listener here. We had air check sessions where our boss would listen to the show and go, you have to stop calling people who listen to the show morons or people that are involved in the news stories morons. Yes, they did. Yeah, it was. I don't think you were calling listeners morons, but I think what it was like, seriously, it was, you know, during the legislative session and it was like Senator so-and-so's a moron and you were throwing the term moron out there a lot and
was
they were
I?
Like, hey, I think the term, yes, I specifically remember and I remember thinking, well, moron's not a bad word and that was the whole thing is like, you know, it's not super mean. Uh-huh. It just doesn't sound real charitable.
Yeah,
you
know? I guess. Yeah, that's
the
true.
Idea.
It was a little off-brand for KSL. Maybe.
But listen, the slow burn of us convincing of the Nightside Project has made it just kind of regular fare.
Yeah.
Just like hot tub folliculitis and psoriasis.
It's a slippery slope,
yep.
Man. You let a kid
are.
On there talking, saying moron, all of a sudden you don't know what's
going on. I love how this person like actually spelt the psoriasis part of psoriasis correctly. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did you learn on the show? Do you have a Zen headline?
Oh, you know what? I do have a Zen headline.
You do
headline.
Have a Zen headline. Then I can stop playing this. I can stop playing Kenny G, and then you can...
Give me just a second
okay,
to pull
so
it up.
Okay, so Ethan will...
Zen yes. headlines are how we finish up the show. They are just on the positivity spectrum. Inspiring, funny, great, awesome, amazing, whatever. Use the hashtag Zen headlines to share it with me, and I'll give you credit. This one, tonight, Alex, I get credit for it.
Oh, you found it.
Tonight's Zen headline, Far Side cartoonist Gary Larson publishes his first new work in 25 years.
Listen, the Far Side comics were like... Seventh grade, I didn't like reading a lot. But when we had like our actual English class and it was like this time we had to sit down and read for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. I would pick up the Far Side like full book of all of his comic, all the comics. And the teacher would roll her eyes like, I guess you can read this, Alex. It's fine. But it was honestly just, it was so good. Even If most of the stuff I couldn't even get because there's a lot of political humor in there. There's a lot of
Social commentary,
a lot of science humor in there as well. Because he, I think in his day job, he's like a biologist or something before he started doing the cartooning. But yeah, love Gary Larson.
Yeah, it was a favorite of mine also, and I'm glad to see it's back. So you can find it online on his website. He said that, so this is a little bit different than the classic pen and ink that he did before. He said it's, quote, the result of my journey into the world of digital art. He retired in 1995, citing fear and fatigue.
Fear?
He was concerned. He said, quote, fatigue and fear that if I continue for many more years, my work will begin to suffer, or at the very least ease into the graveyard of mediocre cartoons. But he's back. He's 69 years old and ready to
finally has something
right
to say.
Has something. So there you go. You can find it online. I'm going to tell you what his website is. Hold on, I got the link right here.
Okay. If it's just GaryLarson.com, I'll be pretty upset at you.
Nope. It's TheFarSide.com.
Oh, okay. So even better.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to go there.
Let me see.
I hope I got it right. I'm always nervous about directing people to websites.
Yeah.
It's here, new stuff from Gary Larson. Enter if you dare.
Hey, by the way, tax day's coming up. I just want to let people know, do not get scammed, okay? If you've been getting phone calls over the last few days about your taxes, Ethan, I'm just telling you right now, there is no time that the IRS is going to call you on the phone and ask for your Social Security number and ask for all your details, okay?
They're not going to do that. They don't do that. And they certainly don't invite you to pay your tax bill using a Walmart gift card through the mail.
That's always my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I'm just calling. I really need your Social Security number. I think I did. You know how I am. When I have time, I'll scam the scammers. I got a guy real close to getting in my essential oils downline one time. It was really close.
Well, one day you'll get them.
I was like, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm interested in what you're doing here because I do have some federal student loans that I really need to have taken care of, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad you called. Also, do you ever get headaches? Are you not able to ever get through the day sometimes? I take just a little bit of lemon oil, just rub it into the old temples there, and I find it really works. All right. Ethan, it's the end of the show. Scott Mitchell and I are going to jam about and just kind of get pouty about the Pac-12 announcing today that the BYU and Utah game is not going to be played in the fall.
Well, enjoy it.
So
enjoy
we'll get to that. So, Ethan, we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
For Ethan Millard, Sam and Amber hitting the buttons. And let me see. Is Jeremy even in there anymore? Oh, no, he's there. Okay. There he is. Jeez. I was worried that he was out of here. All right. We'll be back for the Nightside Project next week. KSL's Unrivaled is next. Stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.